Today, in just a moment, we're going to be talking about the massacre that took place last night, just after 9 o'clock at the AME church, where the suspect, Dylan Storm Roof, massacred 9 members of this church. Join us in just a few.
Another level about to happen, and it's going to be, as you're seeing things happen, that says we've never seen that before.
Not a 100-year storm, but probably a storm that may never have been seen and may never be seen again.
I mean, people are being evacuated for attics in areas never flooded before.
Of course, the biggest tornadoes we've seen before. How could that happen in Boston? How could this happen?
People understand the techniques of Saul Alinsky and how you have to organize things, and you got to keep a continual pressure to be able to change behaviors. We have to watch what the right hand's doing when they're probably we're trying to be distracted by the left hand. There's one thing our president said. He said that the Middle East needs to be organized.
The future must not belong to those who slander the prophet of Islam. And I consider it part of my responsibility as president of the United States to fight against negative stereotypes of Islam wherever they appear.
When you see Iran building ICBMs, just remember, America, that's God's for you.
But I can guarantee you this. The days when the Jewish people remain passive in the face of genocidal enemies, those days are over. This is why, as Prime Minister of Israel, I can promise you one more thing. Even if Israel has to stand alone, Israel will stand. But I know that Israel does not stand alone. I know that America stands with Israel. I know that you stand with Israel.
In 2010, the U.S. patrol border reported that nearly 450,000 Islamic terrorists crossed into the United States of America.
We already know the news. We're trying to change it. The news is if we don't repent, this storm is coming and it's going to bring great devastation. We are going to suffer hugely if we don't turn.
We're being organized. We're being organized according to the Alinsky tactics. Tactics that were taught by our president for 4 years in practice in his life, but he taught them for 4 years. His mentor was Saul Alinsky. He wrote a book, Rules for Radicals, which was dedicated to Lucifer.
Now, Dr. King was saying from the platform of being a Christian, you know, who I believe would be an apostle and staying constitutionally right under the laws, but also, you know, doing his best to walk righteously before the Lord and boldly before his enemy, moving in love.
I have a dream. We hold these truths to be self-evident that all men are created equal.
And I'd like to repent on behalf of the law enforcement.
Yes, sir.
Would you forgive us?
On behalf of those families that have been unjust, I stand before you now and we receive your repentance in the name of Jesus.
If you don't know what God's saying, if you don't know what the Lord's saying, you got to find out. Why aren't you hearing what God's saying? That we can turn back to God. We can say, Lord, here we are. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked ways, it only takes seconds for things to happen that could take decades and generations to get over. But if we humble ourselves, God will just hear from heaven, heal our land. He'll stop this storm that's been fashioned against us.
You're about to see something come to pass in the very near future that your mind cannot even wrap around. It's going to be so magnanimous, so awful, so awesome. And the nations and the kings and the politicians of the earth, their mouth will be open. It's going to be a day like no other day. But when all is said and done, God will reclaim Israel and God will pour out his grace and his mercy even upon the United States of America.
God is about to give us mega grace. And the mega grace will produce mega power and mega conversions and mega outpourings and mega breakthroughs and mega gifts of the Spirit. And I don't know how to measure that. I just know God says it's coming.
And God spoke to me. He said, this is the wind of the end time revival. And this wind is going to blow not just United States. Again, there's going to be another greater movement of God's Spirit.
There's seven spheres of we call them mountains, really, that if you impact these mountains, the culture, you'll transform that culture. Religion, we would say the church. Mm-hmm. Second, family, education, business, arts and entertainment, media, and government. I mean, I believe the best days, you know, for the church is ahead, but it's not going to look like anything like it looks like now. It's going to be exciting, exhilarating. It's going to be willing to go through things and rejoice in the fact that they went through it. Understand that we need to build for 1,000 years.
A tragedy took place a few hours ago, last night, in South Carolina in an AME church where church members were gathered for a Bible study, and a white male racist, reportedly by the name of Dylan Storm Roof, went into that church and massacred, killed 9 Christians, 9 African-American Christians, reportedly. As a matter of fact, let's take a look right now at CBN News reporting.
The historic Emmanuel African Methodist Episcopal Church in Charleston, South Carolina, is a crime scene today after members of the church were killed Wednesday night as they gathered for prayer.
These people were in church. They were in church.
Police are still looking for the shooter. He's described as a clean-shaven white male in his early 20s, wearing a gray sweatshirt, jeans, and Timberland boots. He's believed to be the only shooter. Officials refuse to go into detail about possible motives for the shooting, but many are calling it a hate crime.
The only reason someone could walk into church and shoot people praying is out of hate. The only reason that it is the most dastardly act that one can possibly imagine.
The Emmanuel AME Church is one of the oldest black churches in the South. Its pastor, well known for his civil rights activism, he's believed to be among the dead. Church members say the shooter sat down and attended part of the service before opening fire. Powerful prayer moments happening in the wake of that shooting, members of the community gathering in prayer circles down the street from the crime scene.
We want the entire community to pray for safety for our people, and that we would hope that this person who has committed this heinous crime, which is a hate crime, be brought to justice. So we stand in solidarity, but we also solicit your prayers for the family members who have lost loved ones here tonight.
Another elder reported that more than 50 pastors from all across the state have gathered in downtown Charleston to help comfort those affected by the tragedy. Caitlin Burke, CBN News.
The suspect, Dylan Storm Roof, which you're seeing right now, was arrested. I believe he was apprehended in North Carolina, and they're going through the processes of justice right now. This is a tragedy. That kind of, you know, as Christians, we know that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against spiritual wickedness. That is evil from its core. That is the most evil that you can imagine taking place to do something to human beings that were gathered together at their time of worship. Our prayers go out to the families who lost loved ones. Our prayer goes out for the church at large, that the Lord would protect the church, and that we would awaken and realize that there's people that have a mindset against the church, and we need to stand up and call evil, evil, and that is evil. The question is, when you think about it, you know, what do we as the church do about it? For quite often, you know, many people are just looking at their televisions, just looking at the news or looking at newspapers or online, and they're not just going like, they're thinking somebody else is going to do something. It's time for us to join in the movement. It's time for us to begin to think about what would Jesus do. One good example of that is Dr. King, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., what he did when injustice was taking place. We can no longer remain silent. We have to get involved. The time has come. This is that Archduke Ferdinand moment for America. This is a tragedy. This is a massacre. And God is saying, you know, what are we going to do? What are we going to do when this thing is happening? Are we going to balance the scales and do what's right before our God? Are we going to turn back to God? We're going to talk about what to do and more after this break. Join us.
This is VFN-TV, where we're keeping the conversation light. Follow us online at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Healing Ministry is is valuable, not only in the sense that it's alleviating suffering throughout the world, but more importantly, it is awakening people that if God is capable of working miraculously in this physical body, how much more capable is he of working miraculously to my spirit?
We're very excited to tell you that Art Thomas is going to be coming to the Gulf Coast, to VFN TV Studios, mm-hmm. VFN Dream Center. It's going to be on August
28th through the 30th.
As I've gone through this maturation in Christ and in my ministry, drawing closer to my Father's legacy, I've come to understand that I have a profound responsibility to carry the next phase of that, but I don't.
Welcome back to VFN TV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. We want to get right to it. What do we need to do? What's going on? How do we respond to this? The first thing that we do, exactly what the pastor asked us to do in South Carolina, is to pray for protection of God's people. Pray protection for the Christians. You know, we've talked about this earlier, and you can see it probably on today's torch. But, you know, we talked about the vulnerability of the church and how we need to begin to think, you know, securely about who we are when people are provoking, just like Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu said. He said, America, he said, this God's for you. This thing that's going on is about you. And what was some other words were, what's happening on the shores of Tripoli is going to be coming to America. And we're starting to see what other nations have been experiencing in the persecution come to America. And that's Christians. A few hours ago, were reading their Bibles, having a Bible study at this AME church, as a matter of fact, a historical AME church that Dr. King spoke at historically, that just walked in and began to just massacre 9 members of this church. That's your brothers and sisters, church. What are we going to do about it? We can't just look at it and go, oh, that's bad, that's tragic. We need to wake up and say, God, we want to be involved in seeking justice and allowing such hatred to exist. And I think about, you know, what did Dr. King, you know, some of the people that are going there to the crisis area right now.
South Carolina.
In South Carolina is Dr. Avita King. She's going there.
And she's the niece of?
She's the niece of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. You've heard already Bernice King, his daughter, and you'll be hearing more about her today. Mm-hmm. And also about how, you know, God has called his church, his people to respond to these things. How do we respond? And we don't respond to it politically. We don't respond to it, you know, in divided wise. We stand up for injustice to anybody anywhere is injustice to anybody and everybody everywhere.
That's right.
And so what did Dr. King do that brought things together where the church could begin to walk out something that began to change something that was evil in this nation? Take a look at this. It makes me think about this particular interview on The Blaze when they're talking about beginning to explore this, because it's time for a movement. It's time for civil Christianity in a Christian land. How do we do that? Watch this.
One, education. This is more important than you think it is. We barely understand why Martin Luther King and Gandhi succeeded. And there's a good reason for it. The left and right have very different memories of Martin Luther King. We were all taught that Martin Luther King was a great man. But the right was taught that Martin Luther King was a man of God. The left learned that he was an activist and that sit-ins and boycotts worked. What's the truth? Both of them. They will deny the God part. In fact, there are many times they just call him Dr. Martin Luther King instead of Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King. And they almost, if you read his sermons and then you read about him in a textbook, they're completely different. When he was talking, he was almost all biblical. But you don't hear that anymore. So we have the God principle. We looked at the principle there, and we know that worked. They looked at the framework of a movement, and they know that worked. The secret is both of them together is what works. And we're the people that can put both of them together starting right now.
It is so important to understand that a civil land, the word civil means we all participate in the governing process. So as Christians in the civil land, we have an obligation to participate in the process, how things work. Before the Lord, we have an obligation before God to stand up for injustices and to move, but move in love. I mean, you think about when Dr. King was, you know, beginning the movement, you know, early it was 1957 or so, that it wasn't that popular. Most people weren't joining it. He was kind of using logical sense, but he was doing it in the face of great evil. People were being killed, hung,
beaten.
Ridiculed. I mean, ridicule upon ridicule. You know, just everything you could imagine. You know, that everything, who you were and what you stood for, was just any way possible. I mean, people, to the point that people were burning crosses in your yard and wearing white sheets and saying that they actually were some pure race, and that, right. And they're burning the very emblem where God met man, and they're. It's just the devil. That has nothing to do with Christianity. That is not Christ. And, you know, Hitler was in a church, but he was not a Christian. No. And you have to understand that. But, you know, what do you do? And so I think about the words, you know, when Dr. King was speaking, you know, at Dexter, I believe it was Dexter Baptist Church. But just go listen to his speech.
May I say just a word to those of you who are fighting against this evil? Let me say to you to always struggle against it with Christian methods and with Christian weapons. Never succumb to the temptation of becoming bitter. Never succumb to the temptation of indulging in hate campaigns. You must at all moments move with wise restraint and calm reasonableness. Keep pressing on, but press on with discipline and dignity, and use only the weapon of love, and let no man pull you so low as to hate him.
The secret is that we're called, as Christians, we're called to love. See, hate cannot drive out hate. Only love can do that. And darkness cannot drive out darkness. Only light can do that. And this is, so many people are so quick to jump on some bandwagons and this and causes and all this different
movements, right?
What I think about is like, do I want to win? I mean, do you want this thing to hopefully work out? And a lot of people don't even think about, that's just outright stupid. That's not going to work. Hating foes ain't going to work. Mm-hmm. You know, pushing your agenda is not going to work. Promoting some political party is not going to work. God, as Christians, we know and are supposed to know that God is in control. He's the creator of the universe. He holds everything together. That's the first thing that we have to believe and understand. And secondly, that he gave his son, you know, for us. And he is the Lord. He is the supreme organizer. And it makes me think about, you know, organizers of the day versus organizers of the night. It's time for us as the church to realize that you know, Saul, when he was persecuting the church, he was an organizer. And he was organizing people against the church. But as soon as he met the supreme organizer, Jesus Christ, on the road to Damascus when he was going to persecute the church, he instantly didn't just get rid of what he was. He submitted who he was to Christ, and Christ began to use him to organize the Gentile church. And so organizing is not wrong unless you're trying to organize God. But if you're under God, if you're under the Lord, and that's what, you know, Glenn was talking about, that he realized that, you know, he's both. He was both. He was totally 100, I mean, authentically, amazingly, committed follower of Jesus Christ. Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. was. At the same time, he was a brilliant strategist in regards to how to walk that out in a civil way. He said outright in his speeches, you can't do this in Japan, you can't do this in China, you can't do this in Russia, but we're not in Russia, we're in America, and I'm only holding you to what's written on the papers.
Right.
So he was saying, speaking about how to be civil, a civil Christian in a civil land. And that's so important because he was willing, and he did, give his life for what God had called him to do. And you'll be hearing in a moment, you know, his daughter, Bernice King, who's over at the King Center, that he was not, you know, so many people say, you know, God's called Dr. King. He called Dr. King to the civil rights. And she clarifies that he was actually, he had a spiritual call in his life, and he was assigned to civil rights. And civil rights are for everyone to be treated civilly, especially as Christians. you know, the world will do one thing, but as Christians, we want people to be treated well. And the cost of that, as we saw with Dr. King, was his life. And it's that point. I think about, you know, David Barton. As a matter of fact, David Barton just said, these are one of those moments where you either, you know, it's like the Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, where you got to either bow or burn. As a matter of fact, take a look at this.
David and I were talking during the break about how afraid people were on 828. David, you were next to me. And remember the fear at the time of the people in the country. A lot of people didn't come because they were afraid. Yeah. We've really matured as people.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, we've got our back up against the wall in a way that we haven't before. And it's like out of the Bible, you're going to have to bow or you're going to have to burn, you know? And so we're choosing to stand up. And if we burn, we burn, but we're not going to bow.
That's amazing.
And it's a good change.
You know, that's not a new thing. It's actually was the original thing. If you were in Iran and you decide, you know, I'm going to be a follower of Jesus Christ, it's bow or burn.
Yeah.
It just so happens we happen to be in America. And to be in America, it's been pretty easy to be a Christian. But it's unique in the world. That was the reason why we're fighting for that ability to be able to do that. So it's not unique in the context of it's supposed to cost you. It's supposed to cost you, right?
And Jesus said it would cost you. And so it's just something that we experience here in the United States. And so we need to be able to recognize that many of our brothers and sisters. Many of our brothers and sisters around the world have been suffering like this and have been dealing with a bunch of injustices. And so now we can start walking this thing out.
Yeah. And so suffrage is not, it's what he's, you know, we're called to do good and suffer for doing good. I mean, that's right. The call. And so you're looking at, and you can see historically what people, what cost them to be able to do this. And the question I start thinking about, you know, I think about, you know, Bishop Jim Lowe out of Birmingham, when he was saying, you know, where's the church? As a matter of fact, look at 764 here.
So we're going to be in Birmingham, Alabama on 828, and we're going to focus on Never Again Is Now, standing up and saying, I want to be counted on the big things. And we're starting with what's happening over in the Middle East. Pastor, can you tell me, I've talked to the head guy of the Eastern Orthodox Church. I've talked to the head of the Coptic Church in Egypt, and they all say the same thing to me. Where's the American Christian Church? Where are they?
Glenn, when you bring that up, it's the same thing that I feel like sometimes when we condemn Muslims, if there are Muslims that condemn the beheadings and condemn all of the things that are being done by ISIS and all, and the murders of the Christians and all, where are those Muslims? Well, you know, we don't hear that much about them. But I looked and I realized I'm guilty too if I don't speak out against the murder of those Christians that are occurring. And I don't speak out and join with the voices of others to proclaim that that's wrong, not against Islam itself, but the murders of people. We have to cry out. Anything an injustice done to an individual is an injustice that's done to all of us, because all of our lives are interrelated. God created every one of us with a purpose that we affect mankind. You never know the life of somebody that you take, that what that life might have been able to do in the years that we're following. And more than that, you never know what their offspring could have done. You've cut off generations when you take the life of one person. All life matters.
This is so important because we have to understand it's the human race.
Yeah.
You know, so many people who are Christians or profess to be Christians, they just think about their group.
Mm-hmm.
And God is for your neighbor. He's for your enemy. He's for different nations. He's for all of us. And so we talk about rights. You know, we have to stand up for the persecuted person. And it's God's kindness that leads us to repentance. I mean, you think about the environment that Moses was in. Think about the environment that Paul was in, that the disciples were in. And they were preaching the love of God to everybody. Hmm. Everybody. And talking about religions and idols and all these different things, you know, they didn't differentiate. He went to Greece, basically, and just said, listen, you got all these gods everywhere, but you have one called the unknown God.
Yeah.
And he used that one moment to be able to preach about the true God. And he wasn't hating on them. Mm-hmm. He wasn't. And we got to talk about this because God has called us to do something in this day to be civil Christians in a civil land. As a matter of fact, you can go to civilchristianity.org, and it's time to join the movement. We'll be right back.
This is VFN TV, where we're keeping the conversation light. Follow us online at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
We call it Nonviolence 365. Nonviolence is a way of life for courageous people. Nonviolence seeks to win friendship and understanding. Nonviolence seeks to defeat injustice and not people. Nonviolence chooses love instead of hate. That's my father's philosophy and methodology of nonviolence.
This is VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. Light meaning the light of the world. Not light like easy. We're doing that so that you can actually not be a part of that. Listening to VFN Radio may be your only light. Mm-hmm. It may be your only opportunity during a day that every news broadcast, every radio broadcast, every conversation is just dark. Mm-hmm. It's doubtful. It's this Hitler-like type conversations or mm-hmm. Aryan-type conversations or Iranian or Muslim type conversations or political, which is type conversations, or you could listen to VFN radio and you're able to hear what's taking place, but then you can hear what God's word says about it and you can get a perspective and you go, hey, I can know things without being terrified. I can, mm-hmm. God has prepared me during this day to have a peace in the midst of whatever's going on. There's going to be a great harvest. We're believing and praying that God would bring a third great awakening to America, and a great awakening changes the DNA of the nation. They said Hitler's goal was to de-Christianize the church, and they wanted to infiltrate it with political people. And what do we have today? We have people who are very politically connected and into some different political parties, and they like the whole scheme of the thing. And then they're coming into the churches, and they're trying to de-Christianize it and make it more of a social justice movement. And that's what's taking place right now. Listen, I know this firsthand. And as a community organizer, I saw in my history, my past, that the church was being infiltrated by men and women who weren't Christians. Mm-hmm. And the church was just letting them come in to do social justice movements. You got to hear that. We have to understand this. God's people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. VFN Radio gives you that knowledge and that wisdom and that light.
If you don't have a plan to abide with the Lord, we have one for you. Mm-hmm. Because it'll just begin to just revitalize your prayer life. And you'll find that not only are you talking to God, but you're dialoguing with the Lord and having this documented conversation. We have a plan for you. It's at iabide.org. It's a free plan. You can request it today, and it's amazing how your life you'll just have peace in your life. Mm-hmm. And it's just amazing when we do what God says and operate in the context of how he says do things. It's not as complicated as religion's made it out to be. Mm-hmm. And children are abiding with the Lord. Mm-hmm. I know as adults, we should be able to do that.
Welcome back to VFN TV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. This is so important what we're talking about today, this tragedy that took place in South Carolina at the AME Church just last night, and how do we as Christians respond? We respond like Jesus would respond. We respond what God's word tells us to respond. And then we ask ourselves, where were we before
all this happened, right. like Bishop Lowe was talking about, you know, where is the church? Where has mm-hmm. the church been? And he realized, he said, you know, that I'm accusing other faiths for not responding when people who proclaim to be in their faith aren't doing anything. And then he realized, wait a minute, I'm not doing anything. Yeah. And so we have to respond, you know, and we're personally held accountable. So it's not necessarily looking at everybody else. Realize you got to read the Bible. It applies to you. You know, jump out of the 81 percentile, according to George Bonner, who doesn't even pick up their Bible. Jump out of the, you know, 19% that actually reads it, or 17% that reads it that doesn't even apply it.
Yeah.
And move into that 3 percentile.
This is not a spectator society right now. And it's like everyone's watching instead of saying, at a certain point, you got to decide, what role am I going to play in this? And it's time to get in the quote-unquote game.
Exactly. And the storm, when you think about his name, this evil suspect, that mm-hmm. his middle name is Storm. If you've been hearing what we've been saying, the storm is coming, the perfect storm, all these words that we've been given. And this is just the satanic, it's a devilish attack. It's horrific. But the thing about it is, we have to ask ourselves, if God is in control, what have we done that would allow an environment that anybody could think that could just walk into this AME church and harm anyone, touch them, much less, you know, massacre them? And it's like it's almost like the Archduke Ferdinand moment right now. I'm telling you, I just feel that in our heart. We're talking about that in the studio. But, you know, we're going to go to 766 here when in regards to the door of trouble really has been open. It's been open. Listen, watch this.
Bishop, what are you feeling? When I asked Jim Garlow this, and I asked David Barton this, and I talk about it, I sense that we are at now the doorway, and we may have already taken a few steps into the room of real profound trouble, where Christians are going to either fold or stand soon. Do you agree with that or not?
I definitely do. We have to take a stand. This is our watch. It is our time. We are here. If this were happening, I can look back at World War II, and I can say, where was the world when they were persecuting the Jews there? Where were the Christians at that point? I wasn't there. I can ask that question. But if there's another 50 years when somebody looks back and they say, where was the church when these things were going on all over the world? Where was the church when stuff was happening in Ferguson? Where was it happening in Baltimore? I'm here. It's time. We have to do something. We have to become involved. We can't sit silently by and let these things go down.
Bishop Lowe's talking. We are Bishop Lowe. Bishop Lowe is us.
He's singing our song, isn't he?
Yeah, he's a Christian saying, we got to do something. Yeah. This is our generation. This is our time. This is not a history lesson. This is now.
Yeah.
And we're living out history. Our children are going to look back and say, you know, maybe what happened in Germany? What did you do when the Jews are being persecuted? What did you do when the Christians are being persecuted? If you don't know this or not, when you see Christians being beheaded in Libya, when you see Christians being beheaded all over the Middle East, and you see Christians massacred in their church building, in a building in South Carolina, that's the body of Christ. And Jesus said this. He said, when you weren't concerned about that, you weren't concerned about me. When you didn't see that that was me being persecuted and me being murdered, and you didn't see that, you totally missed it. I mean, it's specifically what it says, I believe, Matthew 25. And so the thing about it is, the church has tried to live this comfortable life, and it's unreal. Look at what it's produced. Look at the darkness that it's producing in the world. And it's time for us to awaken and realize we have to get involved. Is it going to cost us? Listen to what Bishop Lowe says about the reality when you stand up. This is a time, just like they said, that the church is either going to fold, which is a probability. You know, I'm scared, I'm terrified, I'll lose my thing, I'm the rich young ruler, I don't want to lose nothing, I'll walk away. Even though I was religious, when Jesus asked me to pay the price, I wouldn't pay it, and I walked away. That's called folding, by the way. Or we're going to stand. And it's time to stand. We can listen, if you stand with God, and it's like the fiery furnace, you know, where Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they said, listen, you know, our God can deliver us from the furnace, but even if he doesn't, for what's right. And for what's right. As a matter of fact, go to 767 here and just understand about this.
Glenn, I'm passionate about these things. I believe that we have to take a stand. Somebody has to
tell you. You said to me, I think it was Thursday we spoke last week, and you said, I always grew up wanting to be somebody, and I am somebody, I'm a pastor. And I told you then, I think this is now the time when pastors are coming into. It's been fairly easy to be a pastor, at least for white pastors in the last 100 years. And for the last 20 years, it's been fairly easy to be a pastor. It's not going to be soon.
Well, you know, to be a pastor that's going to speak the word of God, the word already has told us that there will be persecution because of what we believe. A church that does not experience a persecution because of truth needs to question itself. Am I preaching the entire truth?
Am I preaching the entire truth? And Bishop Lowe is right, and that's the truth. And sad to say, it's normally religious folks are giving you a hard time when you start saying, I got to follow Jesus. This is what he says. I understand you're going to lose your 401k or something,
read
but
when
you rather lose your 401k than your soul, you know, it's better to, for a man to gain the whole world and lose his soul is a terrible thing.
Yeah.
You know, and I think about, you know, what do we do at a time like this? And I look back and I'm thinking about, you know, what David Barton's been working on for quite some time with wall builders is about the Black Robe Brigade. And they were called Black Robe Brigade because it was the ministers of all races who stood up when Great Britain was coming in to be able to persecute America. Mm-hmm. And they stood up as, and it's called the Black Robe Regiment. As a matter of fact, take a look at this. It's 768.
David, we started the Black Robe Regiment. You started the Black Robe Regiment before 828, 5 years ago. And both of us have had the same prompting for a long time. Hold back, hold back, hold back. You've been working on that. I've been working on mine. They go hand in hand. Mm-hmm. And both of us had the same prompting. Now, my prompting is, now's the time.
Right.
Is that your prompting
it
as
is.
Well?
Now's the time. And it is following the model of going through the communities, not going through the national stuff, just like they did in the American Revolution. It's very local.
So I said today that Bonhoeffer had less than 10 pastors. I think he had 3 or 4. He had very few that would stand with him. You have told me that you think you have about 17,000 that will walk through a wall of fire.
Yeah, as of now, there are 40,000 who have just signed a letter that said, we'll go to jail before we compromise our values on the marriage issue. And getting 40,000 pastors to say they'll go to jail, and one of them was a pastor of a church of 35,000, which is no small thing. And so these guys are starting to get some backbone, starting to stand up, and you haven't heard that in the news. I would think a group of 40,000 pastors might make, no, it's not. Because again, it's just community by community. And so
I want to talk to you a little bit about that on radio tomorrow, because you have something from some people that, can I say where?
Yes.
From the DOJ. That where they are saying, if the Supreme Court goes gay marriage, here's what's coming down the pike.
That's
and
right.
It is a bloodbath for churches, bloodbath.
It will not be churches the way we've known churches for the past 4 centuries. It'll be a whole different mechanism.
And that is where the rubber meets the road.
And it is. Yeah. And that's where the Black Robe Regiment has got to step up.
Can I ask you a question? Where Bonhoeffer made the mistake was Bonhoeffer, in my opinion, I mean, far be it from me to say, you know, Dietrich, what you should have done, but where Bonhoeffer made the mistake was he cared only about the church. And at first he cared about the Lutheran church. Mm-hmm. And he wasn't reaching out to the Jews or anything else. Later that changed.
Yeah.
But he cared about the church. These 40,000, will they go to jail to save the life of a Muslim who isn't Muslim enough?
That's what we'll find out. And it's a first step, because I don't think 5 years ago we'd get 5,000 willing to go to jail for anything.
Yes, I agree.
So the fact that they're standing now we get, you know, Jesus was known as the friend of publicans and sinners, not as the friend of Jews. And so who you're hanging out with. We'll see if these guys will make that next step. But it's a slow process, because we're having to re-educate pastors from their culture, from what they've been taught in school, from what they get taught at seminary. It's like, get back to the Bible, guys.
This is so important, getting back to the Bible. And this is not a militant thing. This is being civil in a civil land, being a civil Christian in a civil land, standing up for the rights of people. And if you haven't yet gone to, go to civilchristianity.org. You know, we've been talking about this for quite some time. You're going to need some tools to begin to learn. And we've been making things available for you. We have great things in regards to, you know, Saul Alinsky, Rules for Radicals, Organizers of the Day versus Organizers of the Night. God's been speaking prophetically. We have different insights on how to be able to respond. But the big thing is you got to decide, you know, are you going to fold? Are you going to stand? Are you going to separate yourself from the ones who stand up with hate and evil and they're the only people they care about is people like themselves? Or are you going to stand up like God would stand up or Jesus stood up and just say, I'm for everyone. I want everybody to be saved. I want all people, all men everywhere to know Jesus Christ as their Savior and not celebrate, you know, when anybody is harmed anywhere.
We got to stand for everyone. That's the whole thing. I mean, Jesus died for everyone, and it's not about us being divided, but it's about standing for injustice for all people. Go back to the scripture, whatever, you know, you've done to the least of these brothers of mine, you've done to me.
When we get back from this break, we're going to go back and hear what Dr. King was saying when he was on Meet the Press talking about this very thing about what to do, how to be a civil Christian in a civil land. Don't forget, go to civilchristianity.org and join the movement.
This is VFN TV, where we're keeping the conversation light. Follow us online at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Healing ministry is valuable not only in the sense that it's alleviating suffering throughout the world, but more importantly, it is awakening people that if God is capable of working miraculously in this physical body, how much more capable is he of working miraculously to my spirit?
We're very excited to tell you that Art Thomas is going to be coming to the Gulf Coast, to VFN TV Studios, VFN Dream Center. It's going to be on August
28th through the 30th.
Our role and responsibility is to really set the tone and direction of society and culture. I tell people all the time that the movement that was led by my father was a spiritual movement. It wasn't a civil rights movement. It impacted civil rights, but it was a spiritual movement, and its assignment was to civil rights.
Listen to this. This is what God says. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will heal their land. Right now, when so many things are happening in America, people are going to Washington, D.C. and protesting and trying to push the government to do things against God's way. This man with tears in his face, when they put the mic in his face, he said exactly what we need to hear and what we need to do. Listen.
What's brought you to tears?
I want to personally repent for everything I've done to bring this onto this country. And if we do not repent of our sins, we will not recover. America will not recover.
Dear God, forgive us for our sins and what we've done to cause this to come amongst our nation.
Welcome back to VFN TV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
There's so many things to understand. We have so many things available for you. That's why I want you to join the movement. It's time for the church to be able to wake up and just, it's time for us to join the movement of God's Spirit, the movement following our great shepherd, you know, what the Lord wants us to do. And in that, you think about, we got to begin to understand morality versus the law. When you see these two things, they're totally different. They don't always mean the same thing. For example, it was legal for Hitler to do some of the things that he did, but it was immoral for Hitler to do some of the things he did. It was legal to oppress a race in America one time, but it was immoral for that to take place. So what's legal and what's moral are two different things, and we have that available for you on the VFN Torch. You got to go hear talk about it, because you might just jump into this, what's happening right now, and think legally, and you totally miss it. Because if we don't think morally, then it's because the issue right now is God's people. It's the ones who profess to be Christians. Jesus says this. The Word of God says this. If my people, when these troubles happen, when famine happens, when crisis happens, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked ways, then I'll hear from heaven and heal their land. He said nothing about people that weren't God's folks. So how to be a civil Christian in a civil land? Who said it better about how to make that stand than Dr. King himself on Meet the Press? Take a look back at this.
Our guest today on Meet the Press is Dr. Martin Luther King, Jr., who is in San Francisco. On our panel of reporters in Washington, D.C., you have just met Lawrence Spivak. Our other reporters today are Tom Wickert of the New York Times, James J. Kilpatrick of the Richmond News Leader, and John Chancellor of NBC News. We'll continue the questions now with Mr. Wicker.
Dr. King, you said a moment ago that Alabama was a state that gives respectability to the resistance and defiance of the law. And you listed an observance of the law by local agencies in the South as one of the cardinal aims that you were seeking. Yet on March the 9th, you led the second march on Montgomery in violation of a federal injunction not to march. You said that order was unjust. And John Lewis, one of your colleagues, said that the Negroes had a constitutional right to march, injunction or no injunction. Now, was that in keeping with the spirit of nonviolence and the restraint that has always characterized your movement? And could you explain your reasoning in defying the court order that day?
Well, let me say two things to that, Mr. Wicker. First, I did not consider myself defying a court order that particular day. I consulted with my attorneys before the march, and they stated that they felt that it was an invalid order, and that it would not be, that I would not be in contempt of court violating the court order if I led the march to the point of having a moral confrontation with the state troopers at the point where the people were brutalized on Sunday. So I still don't consider that breaking a court order or breaking what I consider an unjust law. On the other hand, I must be honest enough to say that I do feel that there are two types of laws. One is a just law and one is an unjust law. I think we all have moral obligations to obey just laws. On the other hand, I think we have moral obligations to disobey unjust laws, because non-cooperation with evil is as much a moral obligation as is cooperation with good. I think the distinction here is that when one breaks a law that conscience tells him is unjust, he must do it openly, he must do it cheerfully, he must do it lovingly, he must do it civilly, not uncivilly, and he must do it with a willingness to accept the penalty. And any man who breaks a law that conscience tells him is unjust and willingly accepts the penalty by staying in jail in order to arouse the conscience of the community on the injustice of the law is at that moment expressing the very highest respect for law.
Well, I can sympathize with a good deal of that, but it seems to me you get into a very difficult point here at which one man's conscience is set, in fact, above the conscience of society, which has invoked the law. How are we to enforce law when a doctrine is preached that one man's conscience may tell him that the law is unjust when other men's conscience don't tell them that?
And I think you enforce it, and I think you deal with it by not allowing anarchy to develop. I do not believe in defying the law, as many of the segregationists do. I do not believe in evading the law, as many of the segregationists do. The fact is that most of the segregationists and racists that I see are not willing to suffer enough for their beliefs in segregation, and they are not willing to go to jail. I think the chief norm for guiding the situation is the willingness to accept the penalty. And I don't think any society can call an individual irresponsible who breaks a law and willingly accepts the penalty if conscience tells him that that law is unjust. And I think that This is a long tradition in our society. It's a long tradition in biblical history. Meshach and Abednego broke an unjust law, and they did it because they had to be true to a higher moral law. The early Christians practiced civil disobedience in a superb manner. Academic freedom would not be a reality today if it had not been for Socrates, and if it had not been for Socrates' willingness to practice civil disobedience. And I would say that in our own history, there's nothing that expresses a massive civil disobedience any more than the Boston Tea Party, and yet we give this to our young people and our students as a part of the great tradition of our nation. So I think we're in good company when we break unjust laws, and I think those who are willing to do it and accept the penalty are those who are part of the saving of the nation.
It's so important, the words of Dr. King. Like I said, it's law versus morality. I guess you can see it on your screen here. Make sure you get it when you partner, by the way, for any amount whatsoever. You can watch the entire talk on that and begin to understand it, because there's a huge difference between the two. That's what Dr. King is talking about. Don't forget also that you want to go to civilchristianity.org, civilchristianity.org. And we're going to have the same 10 commitments, basically, that Dr. King had. The very same 10 commitments to be able to walk with him are, you know, the first one is to meditate daily. You're committing. When you say, I'll join this movement, this is what I'm committing to. So they know that people say, if you're part of that movement, this is what you're committing to. To meditate daily on the teachings and life of Jesus, the revolutionary. Hmm. Abide. Number two, remember always that nonviolent movements seek justice and reconciliation, not victory. Number three, walk and talk in a manner of love, for God is love. Number four, pray daily to be used by God in order that all men might be free. Number five, sacrifice personal wishes in order that all men might be free. Number six, observe with both friend and adversary the ordinary rules of courtesy. In other words, be nice to everyone. Number seven, seek to perform regular services for others and for the world. Number eight, refrain from the violence of fist, tongue, and heart. Number nine, strive to be in good spiritual and bodily health. Number 10, discipline yourselves to follow the spirit of the movement. And then you sign that pledge. You can go to civilchristianity.org and join the movement and sign that pledge, and we'll begin to seek the Lord and have a conversation about, Lord, what do you want us to do as a people, as a whole people? I want to pray for you right now. Don't be silent anymore. Stand up. Listen, we're going to be held accountable. Jesus said, whatever you did to the least of these of mine, you did to me. Whatever you didn't do to the least of these of mine, you didn't do to me. We have to stand up. This is horrific injustice, and more is to come if we don't wake up from what the Lord has shown us. But if we turn, God said he'll stop this storm. Father God, I pray right now, Lord, for the families, Lord, in South Carolina and the AME Church, Lord God, that lost their loved ones. Dear God, we pray for justice. We pray for healing to their hearts, Father God. We pray for protection of the people and the churches there and across the land, God. We pray protection over your church, Father God, and we pray for protection all the citizens of America, Father God, and that you would turn this evil spirit of racism and hatred out of this country, Father God. We ask you for this, Lord. We ask you for revival, a third great awakening, dear God. We ask you, Lord, for a spiritual movement of your spirit across this land in Jesus' name. God bless.
We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information, phone numbers, web addresses, emails. Call them today.
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget you can catch us at VFNTV.com on your mobile applications. You can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless.
The VFN Torch takes VFN Radio to the next level. Listen, you can't show pictures and you can't play videos when you're listening to the radio, but we have it available for you. Take it to the next level. Linking resources. As a matter of fact, when you hear about one particular article or segment that's going on at VFN Radio, there might be four or five other segments that we did over that quarter or several months that you can tie together. Why? It's available for you. It's called the VFN Torch, just like the torch that Gideon carried, the VFN Torch. Go to VFNTV.com and click on VFN Torch.